First Chronicles chapter number 28. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and hath made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over Israel. And of all my sons for the Lord hath given me many sons, and he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." Now, here's David is fixing to pass off the scene. David, if you'll remember, went to Nathan and said, "I'm going to build the house of the Lord." And God said, "Not only will you not build me a house, but David, I'm going to build you a house. And I'm going to establish a covenant with you, and your kingdom shall have no end." Isn't that just like the Lord? God said, "You're a man of war, and your hands have shed blood, so you can't build my house. But because you love me, I'm going to build a house for you." Not a house made out of hands and wood, made by hands out of wood, but a house that shall last forever. And when Jesus comes back, he'll ascend the throne in Jerusalem and be seated on the throne of David. Amen. A physical, literal throne, not a throne somewhere floating out in space, but over in Jerusalem right now where it exists. And I believe the Palestinians will be kicked off of that property, and every mosque in Jerusalem will be burnt to the ground, and Jesus Christ will be seated on the throne of his father David. Now, I want you to notice there, brother and sister, out there in verse number 4, he said in the latter part of that verse, he said, "Among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel." What a strange thing to say. David said, "God liked me, so he made me to be king." Now, we know that God loves us. We've been singing about that tonight. We've been singing about how we love God and how God loves us. But I want to talk about this tonight. Does the Lord like you? He said, "Preacher, what a weird thing to say." Well, you heard King David say it, didn't you? David said, "The Lord liked me, so he let me be the king." We know God loves him. We know God loves everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, we know God loves us. How many of you have made this statement? "Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I love him. I love him to death, but I just don't like him." Don't sit there and have your pious look, act like you ain't never said that. There's people like that I love them dearly. I don't wish nothing bad on them, but I just can't get along with them. There's a few people in this world I just try to stay away from. Amen, brother. There's a difference. There's a difference. When you like somebody, them's the kind of people you just enjoy being around them. You just like their fellowship. You just like talking to them. You just like watching them and being with them. That's like your grandkids. You love them. I mean, you dearly love them, but you also like them too, don't you? Amen, brother. Listen, there's a difference. I'm telling you. That's why David said that. He said, "The Lord liked me. Not only did he love me, but he liked me." God looked down and saw something in David that was different from everybody else. God loved David. He loved all his brothers. God loved everybody in the house of Israel. But there's something about David, that little shepherd boy over there watching the sheep. God said, "Look down and said, you know what? I like that boy. I like him. There's something about him. I just like him." Thank God, that's what I want God to say about me tonight. Don't you want God to look down at you and look down at your life and your family and say, "I like that family. I like the way that family runs. I like that church. I like that old brother. I like the way he preaches. I like the way she sings. I like the way he plays the piano." People that God likes, he blesses with long life, according to Psalm 91. People God don't like, he takes them home, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If God don't like you, he'll take you to the house. That's what the Bible said. You can shorten your days, brother. You live like hell, and you bring shame to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trample the blood of Jesus, and you crucify the Lord afresh every day. God will take you out of here. Amen? That's what the Bible said. God, what was it, David? There was some character traits about David. I'll give you, and we'll go home. That God looked down at David and said, I like that. And I believe these are some simple things about David's character that you and me can attain to, and young people, you can aspire to go after, and you can live this kind of life, and God will look down at you. Nothing you can do to make will make God love you anymore. Nothing you can do to make Him love you any less. But you can sure do some things to make God like you. Amen. Now, I've got kids, just like most of you do. I love my kids. If they was in prison, I'd still love them. Amen. But I'll be honest with you. I sure as the dickens wouldn't like it if they was in prison. Amen. Would you? There are certain people I wouldn't like it one bit if my kids walked up on the porch and said, Dad, look at my new date. That I would not tolerate. I'd say, get off my porch. I love you, but get off. Y'all might not be that way, but I am. I've raised my kids different. You say, oh, preacher, you're just so, you're a hate monger. I am. I hate sin. I hate wrong. I hate what the Bible is against, and I love what the Bible's for. Listen, brother, my kids ain't gonna run around and marry sodomites and all that other bunch of mess and the things that the Bible's against. I hate what God hates, and I love what God loves. And God likes that. Y'all getting nervous, ain't you? You're sweating. Take a Xanax, bless God. We'll be here a while. God likes people, number one. God liked David. God likes people, first of all, that'll spend time with Him. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 13:13, the Bible said God told Samuel, and Samuel told Saul, that God liked David because David was a man after His own heart. There's somewhere along the line that David took some time, and he sat down over by the brook when he was learning how to take that sling and throw it, and how to kill animals, and how to kill people. People too, by the way. Hey, listen, kids, you better learn early in life how to kill some things. Amen. I'm not talking about killing people, unless you have to. Amen. But you better learn how to kill some things. You better learn how to kill some things in your life. You better learn how to mortify the deeds in the flesh and kill the things out of your life. It's going to ruin your life. You better learn how to kill off them friends and kill off the flesh and kill off the desires of this flesh. Hey, brother, I'm trying to tell you some things that'll help you. God likes people that'll stop and take time with Him. Preacher, I just don't have time. Have you got time to watch American Idol? Chunk that sucker out the window and spend some time with God. Listen, brother, if your TV or your computer is keeping you away from God, you ought to throw it away. I would not own a thing that would hurt my relationship with God or my fellowship with God. Listen, brother, God liked it. God looked down, and there was a little old psalm-singing shepherd boy back on the backside of the desert, and he was just a little kid when he first started herding sheep, and there was something special about that little boy. As he was just a kid, he learned how to play the harp, and he started playing that thing over there, and he started writing down music and writing words that turned out to be part of Scripture. And God looked down at him, and God said, I like that boy. There's something about him I like. And because he wants to spend time with his Lord. Amen. He was a man after God's own heart. Amen. It's a valuable lesson when a Christian learns to spend time with the Lord. Amen. God likes that. You know what God likes, people? You get up in the morning and you leave the remote laying. And go fix your coffee. Go do your walk, do your jogging, or whatever you do. Go take your shower, or whatever, and go sit down in your easy chair and reach over and pick up that Bible and flip it over, open and turn the lamp on and say, God, I'm going to give you this first 15 minutes of my day. I ain't turning that thing on. Lord, I ain't doing nothing. I ain't even going to take a shower until I give you 15 minutes. Get the boogers out of your eyes and wash your face. I have to do that first, or I'm going to wash my face and look at my pretty face in the mirror. That gets me going, brother. That gets anybody going. Woo! Man, I look myself in the face, I think I'm looking at Hollywood. Got to get both of my hairs combed down. I'm just trying to tell you, God, listen, God will honor that, and God will bless that. If you'll just take a little bit of time, and maybe it's nighttime, if you'll just turn everything off and go to bed a little bit early and put the kids to bed and sit down when it's quiet and spend that little bit of time with God, 15 minutes or 30 minutes ain't much to ask. Give it to the Lord, and the Lord will look at you and He'll say, I like that. Daddies, if you'll start doing that, you know what you'll find out? You'll start looking around, you'll start seeing Mama do it. Don't expect mama to do it if daddy ain't doing it. It just don't work that way. I'm sorry. It just don't work that way. Daddy is the head of the house, and if mama has to lead in spiritual matters, it just don't work that way. Daddy has to lead the way. And brother, when you start doing it, mama will follow in your footsteps. She'll say, kids, now turn that TV off. Get off that video game. Daddy's in there reading his Bible. That's what we ought to be doing. And you'll start walking by their room at night, and you'll see them laying across the bed reading their Bible. And all the reason they're doing it, not because you browbeat them, that because they'll walk by your room and see you doing it, and they'll see that daddy's spending his time with the Lord, or I'll see daddy sitting in his truck with his Bible when he's waiting on a customer or waiting on somebody for an appointment, and they'll see daddy flipping through his Bible, and they'll see that it means something to you, daddy, and they'll see that it means something to you, and it'll begin to mean something to them, and but it'll instill something in them that'll save their soul and save their life down the road. God likes somebody to spend time with him. Number two, God liked David because God likes those that love his house. David said, Psalm 122:1, he said, I was glad. He said, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Amen. God likes people that want to go to church. I know church people look freakish to the world. They look weird. I mean, every time I talk to people and I say something about going to church, automatically you can feel a cold wave, can't you? You ever notice that? I had somebody call me about something this morning about a business matter. I said, nope, I ain't doing it today. I'm going to church. And you can feel on the other end, there's another end of the state, you can feel icicles. You can hear them clicking and clanking. You hear a blizzard starting on the other end. I said, no, I'm going to church. Amen. Brother, you know what that means? That means, brother, it don't mean nothing to them, but it does to me. I could care less, brother, about business. I could care less about pleasure because I live for Sunday morning. I like going to church. I got saved in 1978, and I fell in love with Jesus, and I started liking going to church, and I've liked it ever since. I ain't saying I've enjoyed every service I've ever been to, but I love him, and I love his house. He bled and died for the church, and by the very least I'm done, and carry my sorry to church a couple times a week. Amen. Amen. I don't do much for him. The least I can do is go to church. It's air-conditioned, padded pews, nice heat, pretty furniture to look at. The least I can do is go a couple times a week and let the choir sing to me and sing specials to me and preach a little bit. The least I can do. But, brother, God likes people that want to go to the house of God. These people, you got to browbeat them and drag them and hook a tractor up to them and drag them down to the house of God and bribe them and beg them and bribe them and pay them and got to con them to get them to go to church. Brother, that religion ain't worth nothing. I want to tell you, God likes people that want to go to church. I know I'm mean. I know I preach mean, but I can't help it. That's the way I've always been. I can't do it any other way. I've tried to soften up, but I can't preach when I do that. Amen. It's like when I start getting mean, God unleashes the wild man in me or something. But I want to tell you, God likes people that want to go to church, and God will bless people that want to go to church. David said, he didn't say, I was glad about anything else, but he said, I was glad when they said, hey, David. He said, where are you going? He said, guess what we're up to? He said, where are y'all headed? He said, we're going down to the church. We're going to worship. He said, I was glad. Thank God it's church time. Oh, brother, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but when I wake up on Sunday morning, I rejoice. Thank God I'm glad it ain't Monday. I'm glad it ain't Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or even Saturday. Thank God it's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. Glory be unto God. We get to go to church. We get to hear them sing. I get to see all the church family. I get to see the choir. I get to hear him sing his life for mine. I get to hear him sing, I come by the way of the cross. Glory to God, I get to preach. Hey, brother, I was glad. I was glad when they said, let's go down to the house of God. God likes people that want to go to church. God looks down at people that don't ever want to go to church, and he says, I ain't got much use for that crowd. I love them, but I ain't going to waste much time on them. The people want to go to church. Brother, God likes that. Number three, God likes people that likes his word. David said in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. David said, I love this old book. He said, I can't get enough of it. David said, the more I read it, the more I like it. The more I like it, the more I want it. The more I want it, the hungrier I get. And the more I eat, the more I want. Thank God it's like a buffet down at the Golden Corral. I just can't pull away from it. The more I eat it, the more I love it. And the more I love it, the more I want it. Well, that's the way it is. God said, I like people that love my word. I like it, don't you? Listen, I've been this thing my whole life. And I ain't never got completely, I ain't got satisfied to the point when I walk out the door, I'm done and don't want to go back. I don't get this crowd, brother. These people that go to church and hoot and holler and shout and the preacher pieces the paint off the wall and they leave and you don't see them again, I don't know what they got. They got indigestion or colitis or something. They ain't got what I got, brother. I leave everything. Glory to God, I wonder if I come back, if I'll hoot and holler and shout amen, if he'll do it again. Amen, brother. I wonder if we go back, if God's going to show up again like he did last week. I want to tell you something, brother. The last two Wednesday nights, God has showed up in such a way you wouldn't believe it. I mean, heaven's come down, and glory filled our soul, and brother, most unexpected, unusual, supernatural things have happened, brother. Listen, God likes people that want to hear his word. Amen. I'm glad I'm in a church that wants preaching. I said that this morning. And I ain't saying that because I'm a preacher. But I'd be out of a job if it wasn't. But I'm glad I'm a part of a church that ain't built on singing. You heard people say, well, I like preaching, but I really get my strength on singing. Something wrong with that. Amen. I'll say number four. God likes people that want to worship. Psalm 22:22, he said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? David said, I'll praise it. There's one time David was dancing. Now, we don't believe in dancing because the Bible don't teach it. I can prove it. You say, well, did David dance before the Lord? He did. Before the Lord. Not before the congregation. David didn't strip his clothes off and get in front of the congregation and dance. He danced before the Lord where nobody could see him. And brother, I want to tell you something tonight. Brother, God likes it when people worship. I believe that's why God, one of the reasons that God's blessing our church, God loves a church that'll preach that King James Bible, and God will bless a church that has a heart and a desire to worship him. Amen. If we lose sight of that and don't want to worship anymore, just want to come here as a political platform and just have a social club, then God's going to check out and leave. David loved to worship. God said, I like that. You know, over in the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas got thrown in jail. And there they were. They were in the inner prison way back yonder somewhere in a deep, dark dungeon. They got to talking and fellowshipping, talking about the good things of God. And the Bible said they sung a song. I don't know what they sung. Somebody said it was Amazing Grace. I don't know about that. I don't think Amazing Grace was written back then. I think it was more like It Is Well With My Soul, probably. I'm just kidding. I don't know what it was. They got singing something about the Lamb of God hanging on the cross and bleeding and dying for sinners. And rose from the dead. I guarantee you it's about him. I guarantee you it had something to do with Jesus Christ. And they got to shouting and praising God. And God is sitting up in heaven looking down and said, now I like that. Amen. They're sitting in a jail cell and they're on stocks and bonds. But I like it, brother. Hey, brother, I don't know about you, but I like it too. I like what God likes. I like old-fashioned worship. I like what Brother Joe was talking about this morning. Brother, we're just doing what our ancestors did. We're not doing some newfangled thing. This is what our forefathers did and what they died for. Amen. Our ancestors died for what me and you're doing.
Amen.
God liked David, number five, because he was interested in people. Psalm 51, David said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. God likes people that's interested in people. If you live just for yourself, God ain't gonna waste a whole lot of time on you. And that's what a lot of people do. Most people, they spend their life for themselves. Me, me, me. This is the most me-oriented generation I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I'm just a young man. I ain't that old, but it's changed since I was young. People used to have more of a servant's heart, but now people can care less. It's all about me. Even Christian people, it's incredible how me-oriented the world is and the church is. But God said he loves it when we get interested in other people. Y'all heard me make this statement before. When you get interested in people and you get in the people business, and God will get in your business. And when you're interested in seeing people saved and trying to get lost people in the house of God, then God will show up and start doing things that you weren't expecting him to do. Amen. God likes it when you get in the people business. We get out every Saturday, knock on doors and try to get people saved. And me and Debbie is walking along talking about it. Sometimes you don't see results from it. Sometimes people don't come the next day and show up and say, yeah, you come to my house yesterday, knock on my door, I'm ready to get saved. It don't work that way. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, only 25% of the people you reach will respond. There's four fields, and only one of them will take root out of those four fields when you sow seed. So only 25, you only got a 25% success rate anyway. And out of that 25%, that don't mean all that whole 25% is going to come to your church. Plus, you factor in that we're living toward the end of time. And that makes it, I believe, even less that you're going to hear anything or see any results. So the bottom line is, what you do is, you just do what that blessed old book said, and you go out and sow the seed and sow the seed and just hope and pray that you get one every once in a while. And we have. We've got a few here recently. We've seen a few people saved. And brother, listen, if we only see one saved or two saved a year or five saved, brother, ain't that worth it? Ain't it worth it if one or two people is rescued from the perishing? If one or two men or one or two women or a couple of kids are saved that don't have to die lost and go to hell, ain't it worth it? God liked David because he's interested in people. Number six, God liked David because God likes folks that have some fight left in them. 1 Samuel 17, you know the story about David and Goliath. I ain't going to talk about the whole story, but if you'll notice in that story, in that chapter, David was a youth. Most people get it wrong, say he was a little boy, but he was a youth. He was probably 16, 17, 18 years old, something like that. Probably about Gunner's age or something like that, maybe. And the Bible said there in three different verses, verse 22, verse 48, verse 51, that David ran toward the battle. Verse 22 said he left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and ran into the army. Verse 48 said he hastened and ran toward the army. And verse 51 said he ran and stood upon the Philistine. David ran to the fight. David ran toward the battle instead of running from the battle. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a battle. God likes people who's got a little bit of fight left in them. God likes somebody who's got a little spunk left, don't you? Amen. Don't you like to see somebody who's got a little bit of fight left? Don't you hate to see somebody just lay down and take it? Just roll over and just die? Amen. David was a man, when the fight was going on, the Philistine was standing out there and he was defying the armies of God. David said, who is that? They said, you hush. This ain't none of your concern. You're just a young man. You came to bring lunch down here. You brought some Happy Meals. You get on back out with the sheep. He said, I might be a shepherd boy and I might have brought Happy Meals, but somebody needs to shut him up. He said, I know that much. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, I do know that. And they sent word and sent him to the king and show you how afraid they was. The king sat down and entertained the idea of this young teenager going out and doing battle. He had this mighty army and turned him loose and let him go out there. And David killed, you know the story, David killed the giant? And God liked that. God liked it because, listen, me and you're going to have some battles to fight, folks. Did you know the war going on in our nation? It's been going on for years. It's been going on for a long time. This past generation, it started way back. It's been going on for a century. But I'll tell you this, this last generation, this last 100 years, we've seen changes like we've never seen before. And it's gonna keep growing rapidly and faster and faster. And what we believe, what we stand for is more outdated and outmoded and more antiquated than it's ever been before. When you tell people you're old-fashioned, Bible-believing, King James Bible-preaching church, they look at you like you just grew another head outside of your neck. They do. They think you're crazy. It's a battle. Are you willing to fight it? Don't you like somebody's got a little grit to them? You know, it's kind of strange that we're living in a... I don't know. I never thought I'd see it get like this, but used to, as I was growing up in North Carolina in the mountains up there, it used to be that preachers had boldness and power and grit about them when they preached, and you was about scared of them. I mean, really, the fear of God fall on you when the preacher preach. But now it's like preachers are just weird, ain't it? It's like they have no backbone anymore. It's like they're scared of everybody, and they've got no fight left in them. I heard of a church up in South Carolina where the Masons came in one Sunday morning and took over the church service, took it over. The preacher told the deacon, said, "Now, boys, I don't agree with that." And they said, "Well, ain't nothing we can do about it." So he went and sat on the back row, and the Masons come in, whatever it is they do with them hats on, them tassels, you know. Is that not crazy? I told our deacons, I said, "Boys, if they come in here, you better be ready for a fight." I mean, a fist fight if it comes down to it.
Amen.
Well, we hit a snag there, preacher. That's all right, brother. People ought to be willing to fight for what they believe in. A man ought to have enough grit about it to fight for his family and fight for his faith and fight for his country and fight for what's right. Convictions are something you should be willing to die for. Opinions are